that. That wasn't a short reading, but you read it really well for us. Would you mind either turning me off or turning this one off? Is that all right? That's much better. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen. So what on earth has Joseph, the son of Jacob, who went on to lead the 12 tribes of Israel into Egypt, got in common with Guy Fawkes, the author of the Gunpowder Plot, which nearly brought down the British monarchy and the Houses of Parliament in 1605? Well, I think there's a common theme running through the two stories, and that's the rather complex idea of betrayal. We all hope we won't experience it, but when it happens, it hits us right in the guts, and we don't know how to handle it. Let's start by looking at Joseph. If you remember, and thank you so much for the video, because that makes it so much easier to visualize, but Abraham has a son called Isaac, and Isaac has a son called Jacob, whose other name is Israel. And Jacob has 12 sons who become the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel. And one of Jacob's 12 sons, Joseph, has two dreams. And in both of these dreams, his brothers and parents bow down to him. His brothers hated him. They were jealous. So the day came when they could vent their anger against their brother. His father sends him to see if it's well with his brothers. And as we've heard, they say, "Here comes the dreamer. Let's kill him." Reuben tries to save Joseph, but his attempt is only partly successful. And when the brothers sell Joseph as a slave to the caravan of Ishmaelites, they keep his special coat, soak it in blood, and his father assumes he's been eaten by animals. The brothers think that's the end of it. So here we have a young man of about 17 who knows that he is the apple of his father's eye. Reading between the lines, it's not difficult to imagine that he is a strong character. He fancies himself as a bit of a leader, although we have to wait until he's imprisoned in Potiphar's household to read all about that. Joseph's dreams add to his belief that he is made for great things. And with all the rashness of youth, he decides to let his brothers know what a gift he's going to be to the world. And like all big brothers, they put him in his place, except it goes wrong. Soon it's all too late, and Joseph has been betrayed. Hold on to that story. What about Guy Fawkes? It's that time of year, isn't it? November the 5th, so it was too good an opportunity not to miss. But we don't often hear about Guy Fawkes these days, unless we're still at school. So here we have another young, handsome, and charismatic young man. Guy Fawkes was born probably around 1570 in York, while Elizabeth I was on the throne. Like Elizabeth, his parents were Protestants, but his father died and his mother remarried a Catholic. And when he was a young man, Guy Fawkes secretly converted to Catholicism. When Queen Elizabeth died, her cousin James became the king, King James I, another Protestant, much to the disgust of the British Catholics. Now, like Joseph, Guy Fawkes was a bit of a hothead, and when he was 21, he left England to fight for the Catholic Spanish army. In Spain, he was scouted by Catholic conspirators who wanted to replace the king. He was brave, skillful, and military trained, just what they wanted. And so back he came to England to get involved in a plot to assassinate Protestant King James. As we all remember, on the night of the 5th of November, 1605, Guy Fawkes headed to the cellars under the Houses of Parliament. But thanks to an anonymous letter, the king was warned not to attend. The cellars were searched, and Guy was discovered with a lamp, matches, and 36 barrels of poorly concealed gunpowder. The rest, as they say, is history. So here's the difference. Joseph is betrayed because of his self-belief, but Guy Fawkes, the religious fanatic, becomes the betrayer. In fact, his betrayal is even worse than that of Joseph's brothers, because, as we said with the kids, it involves treason, betrayal of the king. So where are we going with all of this? I think the point I want to make is that people can think they're doing things from the best of motives, but human nature gets in the way, and our passions can so easily lead us in the wrong directions. I'm sure we all know what it's like to be on the end of a well-intentioned plan that's gone wrong. Or maybe we've been betrayed by someone ourselves and are still nursing the hurt from their painful actions. As I said earlier, we human beings are complex, and emotions and passions run deep. So how do we respond when we're betrayed? Do we play that video over and over in our minds, allowing it to burn into our brain and turn to anger and then bitterness? Or do we surrender it to God? Do we view it through the sovereignty of God, or simply through our own feelings? So how does Joseph's response to his brothers impact and apply to our lives when we're betrayed? Remember, God includes all these stories in Scripture so we can learn and grow from them. Because, of course, Joseph's story doesn't end there, where we saw it this morning, or where we heard Matt read it. Fast forward 15 years, and the vision has been fulfilled. Famine has arrived, and in Genesis chapter 45, his brothers turn up looking for food. Of course, they don't recognize Joseph, because by that time he really has risen to great things. But he reveals himself to them and forgives them. Just imagine that moment when Joseph told his stunned brothers, "Do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me here before you to preserve life. God meant it all for good." Does that radical forgiveness sound familiar? The story of Joseph has a deeper meaning, beyond the very human story of sibling rivalry and reconciliation. Joseph has always been seen as a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. Jesus, of course, was also betrayed. He was given up for death on the cross. And we all share in that death because the Son of God accepted the sacrifice of the cross as an offering for the sins of the world. Both Joseph and Jesus were betrayed by someone else. Both of those someone else's were called Judas. It's the same name. And in both cases, the deal was done in exchange for many pieces of silver. 20 for Joseph, 30 for Jesus. And their betrayal also led to both of them becoming saviors. Joseph saved many lives from a famine. Jesus went on to become savior of the world. God works in mysterious ways. If Joseph had been more circumspect, then maybe he would have kept his beautiful coat of many colors and not been arrested. But then, his visions wouldn't have been fulfilled, and the Israelites might well have vanished when the famine hit. Betrayal is not something that any of us want to experience, but if it does happen, then we should always be encouraged not to give up hope. Not only does Jesus tell us that he understands, because he's been there too, but we must be patient and hold on to hope, because there's every chance that our story still has another unseen chapter in store. Amen.